Come to, we're going to come back to the outline here, and we will look at Roman number 4. The great day of the wrath of the Lamb. We used to call that the great tribulation, but actually it's worse than that. The great tribulation referred to the believers who went through a lot of persecution during especially during the time of the Roman Empire and maybe during the time of the Spanish Inquisition. They all went through a lot of persecution. But this is even worse. This is called the Great Day of the Wrath of the Lamb. This is Judgment Day. This is the day that the Lord is going to judge the world, right? Yesterday, Moses painted quite a dark picture of the world today, which we were all shocked, right? We didn't think it was that bad. But it is, maybe worse, right? And so the Lord is going to judge this world, definitely, right? And this is called the Great Day of the Wrath of the Lamb. This judgment is actually not for believers. It is definitely for the world, right? Let us read before we go to the PowerPoint presentation. Let us read Revelation chapter 6. This is when the sixth seal was opened, right? Let's read from verse 12. Right. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of the heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, and every slave and every free man hid themselves in the cave and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Now let's go back to Luke again, right? Luke chapter 21. Yeah. Let's read verse 25 and 26 again. It says, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. And on the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sin and wave roaring. Men's hearts failing them from fear and expectation of the things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Wow, this is a short description of that day of the great wrath of God, right? And then in verse 34, we read that a few times, but it's good to read it again. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that they come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always, that you may be counted to escape all these things that will come to pass, to stand before the Son of Man. Right. We need to be counted worthy to be able to escape. That means there's a possibility that you and I may not escape this time. It will be terrible to be around at that time, right? And also Revelation chapter 3, we need to read that. To the church in Philadelphia. What did the Lord say here? verse 12. No, sorry, verse 10. Verse 10, right. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Amen. Yeah. The Lord wants to keep us from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole earth. No escape. Whether you are in the North Pole or in the South Pole, you won't escape this great wrath. You will be affected if you're still around at that time. So I hope this morning we will have a desire and really a godly fear that we will not be around at that time, that we will be raptured, right? And let's read also 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. All these verses are good. Yeah. It says here, for when they say, verse 3, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Yeah. And then verse 9 is good too. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, there is such a time. And first of all, let us just see, when will this time come? All right, before we go on to see more what will happen at this time. Let's read first, sorry, Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. We've been talking very much about the last 7 years, right? Maybe some of you is wondering, what is this 7 years that we're talking about? So let us read chapter 9 and verse 70 weeks. Okay. Let's read from verse 24. Now, this is a vision given to Daniel concerning what will happen to the nation of Israel, to Jerusalem, right? And so let's read from verse 24. It says, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, the Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wings of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. Yeah. So bear with me this morning. We have a lot of information, but the Bible talks about it, so we also need to know about it, okay? Actually, Revelation talks in quite detail concerning this matter. But to understand, we need to come back to Daniel chapter 9. And it says there, a decree to build Jerusalem, the start of the 70 weeks is when the decree was given by King Artaxerxes to rebuild Jerusalem. And and that happened. And the whole time should be about 70 weeks. And the 70 weeks, 1 week in biblical prophecy is what? Not 7 days, but 7 years, okay? Because it says that Jerusalem was rebuilt in what? In 49 weeks, right? Yeah. In 7 weeks, which is 49 years. It cannot be 49 days. You cannot build rebuild Jerusalem in 49 days, right? It has to be 49 years, right? So, now it says the decree to rebuild Jerusalem until the coming of Christ, that means the triumphant entry of Christ to Jerusalem, in Jerusalem was in 69 weeks or in 483 years. All right? So, this is the time. Let me use the stick here. From the decree to rebuild Jerusalem until the triumphant entry of Christ is exactly 69 weeks. All right? Up to here is 70 weeks. So, until the triumphant entry of Christ was 69 weeks. And it is 1 year is always 360 days in the Bible. So if you calculate it, it will be exactly 483 years or 173,880 days. And if you calculate that according to our Gregorian calendar, it has been done by some brothers, and it is amazing how exact the Lord was. Exactly after so many days, the Lord sat on a colt and entered Jerusalem and proclaimed king. Remember, they say Hosanna to the king, right? So, and then it says after that, shortly after that, it says the Messiah will be cut off. That means the Lord was crucified short after his triumphant entry to Jerusalem, right? And through his death and resurrection, the Lord started the new covenant age, the church age. That means the Lord put aside the nation of Israel for a while. He's dealing with the Jews, and he started to build the church here, right? The heavenly Jerusalem, the heavenly kingdom, as we've heard. And at this time, you have to see that the 70 years in Daniel's prophecy has been suspended because the Lord is now dealing with the church, right, with the Gentiles, not with the nation of Israel anymore. So that 70 weeks is, okay. All right, sorry. So the 70 weeks is suspended, right? And the question now is, when will it resume? Right? So suspended time, the church age, for now 2,000 years. Now, when will that 70 weeks continue? The 70th week continue, the last 7 years, right? And we read that. It says here, with power, we read that in Daniel 29, verse 27. With power he shall make a treaty with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And this he is the seventh king, and we will see later on who this seventh king is in Revelation, right? He shall make, so there will be a seventh king and he will make a treaty. That is what we are referring to as the peace treaty. So once you see that there is a king who starts, who broker a peace treaty in the Middle East, then you know that the last 7 years has started. Okay? All right, the 70th week. So, for 1 week, that means for how long? It doesn't work anymore. Oh, okay. So peace treaty, all right, for 1 week, which is for 7 years, right? And in the middle of the week, there's another he here, all right? He shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, meaning to say that when the peace treaty is made, the Jews will be allowed to resume their sacrifices, which they have not been doing for the last 2,000 years because there was no temple. But because of the peace treaty, they are allowed now to rebuild the temple, to resume their sacrifices and offering. All right? But in the middle of the week, there's another he here. All right? Let's see who that he is. Okay, the peace treaty must allow Israel to offer sacrifices again. All right. Okay, we mentioned that already. So we go on. After 3.5 years, that means in the middle of that 7 years, this he will bring an end. And this he is different as this he, okay? This he here is the seventh king that will broker the peace treaty. This he here is the eighth king who will bring an end to the sacrifice. Okay, is that clear? Any question? Right. That means the peace treaty will be broken here. All right? Okay. Now, who is this seven head? Let's go to that. Now we need to come to Revelation. Put this aside first. Let us read Revelation chapter 13, first. We'll read the verses first, and then we will go through it point by point. Okay, from verse 1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea, having seven heads and turned, and on his ten crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his head as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast who is able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name,
his tabernacle, and those who
dwell in heaven. And it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life, the Lamb from the foundation of the
world.
Let him hear. Okay, let's continue. Let's just read 11 and 12 about. Okay, 11 and 12. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and caused the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast. That's good. And now let's jump to verse 18 now, okay? Here is wisdom. Let him understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. Its number is 666, or 666. Okay, then let's jump to chapter 17 now. Let's read from verse 8. Okay. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen. One is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not, and is himself also the eight, and is of the seven, is going to perdition. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings. No kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. Okay, that's good enough for now. So let us go step by step. Oh, how come he's here already? Okay. All right. So it says here there are seven heads. And the seven heads are the seven mountains. Meaning to say that this, all these kings here are from the Roman Empire. Because Rome is known to be the city with seven hills, right? So that means none of this king would be a Chinese or an Arab or a Jew. But it has to be someone from the former Roman Empire, right? And of course, America is an extension of Europe, right? So, it says here, seven kings. Now, here we have 12, right? First of all, you have to see that of the 12, that's a stick. These three are not really Caesar. They're not counted as Caesars because they just ruled for, all three of them ruled within 1 year after the death of Nero. There was kind of a civil war in the Roman Empire. So they just ruled for about a year all together, right? And they were all assassinated. So they're gone, right? They don't count because they are not real Caesars. Okay. Now, it says five were fallen. What does it mean that they were fallen? It means they died a very violent death. Either they committed suicide or they were assassinated. Right? So, who are these five? Okay. So those. These three, these ones that disappear, this, and this, they all died natural death. So they don't count, right? So now you have seven. All right? Seven according to Revelation. Six. Sorry?
No, six.
Oh, six. One, two, three. Oh, yeah, seven. I'm sorry. There's six right now. The seven isn't. We don't know yet who the seventh is. That's right. Okay, sorry. So five have fallen. One is. Five have fallen. These are all the past kings. One is, that means he was the Caesar at the time that John wrote Revelation. Okay, so one is, he's the sixth, all right? And the other has not yet come. That means the seventh has not yet come. Okay. Okay, so that is it, right? Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. All right. Okay, the beast that was, that means the beast, this Antichrist, he was already, he was existing among one of these five that died. One of them is a beast. We'll find out who it is later, okay? Okay. And is not, that means this guy is not the beast. All right? Because it says the beast that was and is not. That means he is not the beast. Okay? Is himself also the eighth. So the beast is the eighth. Right? But he is of the seventh. Complicated, right? Just remember, he is the eighth, but he is of the seventh. Okay. Now, who is the one who was? It says, here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beasts, for it is the number of men. His number is 666. That is in Revelation chapter 13, right? And, you know, if you will write the name of Caesar Nero in Hebrews, all the Hebrews letters have numbers, okay? So if you add up all the numbers of Caesar Nero in Hebrews, it will total to 666. Okay? So that's how we conclude that the beast who was is Nero. And indeed, Nero was a very cruel Caesar. Right? He killed his own mother, executed his first wife, and murdered his second wife. Really bad. Right? And he burned Rome so that he could extend his palace. I'm sure many people died in that big fire that lasted, I think, 14 days, if I remember correctly. And then he blamed the Christians for doing it. He was really wicked. He persecuted the Christians, even used them, burned them at night to use them as lamps at nighttime in his palace. He was that wicked. All right. So Nero was really wicked and qualified to be the beast. All right? So we know now who it was, the five, the fifth Caesar here, right? Okay, let's go on. So who is this seventh king? How do we know that he has come? How do we identify him? Right? It is when he confirms a covenant with many for 1 week. So if you see somebody coming along and brokering a peace treaty in the Middle East so that the Jews can rebuild their temple and start to offer, then that is a sign that the seventh king has come. Okay? All right, so. And when he comes, he must continue for a short while, right? So that means for the first 3.5 years, he will be around and there will be peace and security. Just like what we read in Matthew chapter 24, right? And in Thessalonians, people will be eating, drinking, marrying, getting married and all that. And Thessalonians says there will be peace and security at that time. Okay, so. And when is the day, the great day of God's wrath? It is here. The last 3.5 years is the great day of God's wrath. So, we should hope, we sang that song, we want to be an overcomer. Meaning to say, we don't want to be here anymore. Right? In Matthew, it says, what? Two will be in the field, One will be taken, one will be left behind. Two women will be grinding, right? The mill, one will be taken, one will be left. I hope we will be taken. This is the time that we will be taken. Right? Revelation chapter 14 described those as the first fruits, those who are matured and will be caught up to the throne before the last 3.5 years. Okay? So let's continue the description. The 10 toes, we'll talk about it later. Okay, we read about this, that the seventh king will suffer a mortal wound, right? At this point in time. And amazingly, his deadly wound was healed, right? And at the same time, let's read Revelation chapter 9 now. It says here, then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. And he opened the bottomless pit, which is the abyss, right? And smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, etc., etc. And then we jump to verse 11. Of course, in between it describes how terrible that time would be, right? Men will seek death and will not find it. And verse 11 says, to save time, we'll just jump. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon. But in Greek, he has the name Apollyon, which means the destructor. Right. Now, who is this? We read a while ago that the beast, although he came from the sea, right? Meaning to say he is a Gentile. In the Bible, the sea always refers to the Gentile world, and the earth refers to Israel. So the first beast came from the sea. That means he's a Gentile. The second beast, we read earlier, came from the earth. He is a Jew. He will be the false prophet, right? And so, when Nero died, normally, everyone goes to Hades. There are two parts of Hades, right? You know that from the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham on the better part of Hades, whereas the rich man was in the other part, which is quite hot, right? So he was very thirsty. And however, for some reason, I don't know how he got there. Maybe the Lord, because he was so bad, he put him in a different place, in the abyss. And it is a place where the demons are actually locked in. You know, the demons are the disembodied spirits of the pre-Adamic creatures. When they rebelled against God, God locked them up in the abyss, right? And so this guy was there too. And he became their king. Right? He became their king. He maybe trained them to be even more fierce. But anyway, he came out. Because Satan, when he was cast down, right in chapter 12, it tells us also that he was cast down. Satan and all the evil spirits were cast down. I don't know how he got the key to the abyss, but he did. He opened up. All the demons came out, and this guy came out too. And in a very mysterious way, he became the eighth. All right, let's go. Okay. So, in a very mysterious way, he, in connection with the seventh, became the eighth. That's why it says he's the eighth, but is of the seventh. All right? If you want to know more details, we can talk about it after the meeting. No more details. Okay. But anyway, the Bible does give us a quite a vivid description so that we will not be in ignorance, right, of who this man of perdition is. Yeah. So, who is the Antichrist? He is actually Nero in relation to the seventh king. Right? Oh, Lord. And, well, this is just a description of Nero, how he actually has a desire for immortality. Yeah. And this beast also has seven heads and ten horns. And these ten horns are the ten kings who will give their authority to the beast, right? It says here, the ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings. With the beast, these are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast, right? Yeah, oh Lord. So, this is clear, the eighth king. So he is the one who will break peace treaty at the end of the first 3.5 years, or the start of the last 3.5 years, which will be the great day of God's wrath. And you know that we read that he will also make war with the saints and overcome them at that time. So you don't want to be around at that time, right? Oh, Lord. But at the end, the Lamb with the overcomers will come and destroy. Oh, Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. We'll have lunch later. But anyway. But I think what should impress us is that it is a terrible time for us to be around, right? If you continue to read Revelation chapter 7, chapter 8, and see all that will happen at that time, the great day of God's wrath, you really wouldn't want to be around at that time. Oh Lord, may the Lord help us, as it says in Luke, to escape, to be worthy to escape, right? That means not everyone will make it. We have to be worthy. If we love the world and we are worldly, then we should be judged together with the world at this great day of wrath, right? So may the Lord have mercy upon us. Yeah, oh Lord. Any more questions? But I think the burden is to show all that is, on one hand, to give us a godly fear that if we don't make it, we will have to go through this 3.5 years of wrath. And if you read Thessalonians, also chapter 5, right? Paul says in verse 17, chapter 4, verse 17, sorry, 4, verse 17, he says, then we who are alive and remain, not good to be alive and to remain at that time. We should be those who are alive and raptured to the throne, all right? But at the end of the last 3.5 years, those who are alive and remain will be caught up to the air, not to the throne, as opposed to those in Revelation chapter 14, right? The first fruits, they will be raptured to the throne. So let us be those who follow the Lamb wherever he goes and be raptured before that great day of wrath. Read Revelation. We don't have time to go through all these verses. But read chapter 7, chapter 8, read chapter 13, chapter 17, when Satan is cast down from heaven with all the evil spirits, the fallen angels, they will be on earth, the abyss will be open, all the demons will be out. Wow, can you imagine how bad it will be on earth at that time, right? So I hope this information will help us to have a godly fear, to be raptured before the last 3.5 years. Okay. Amen.
Really sympathize with our brother sharing this message, because there's so many informations you have to put together to really see a very clear, complete picture, which is definitely not simple. But what I want to... I have to... It's okay, yeah, it's all right. Just to bring out the focus, the main thing that is so important for us to see in Revelation chapter 17. The Lord described to John that a beast was. That means he existed. He was. And he is not, meaning to say at the time of the Apostle John, when he wrote the book of Revelation, he no longer exists. He died. He was and is not. And then he continued to say, and he will come. New King James says, and yet is. It's not a very good translation, but he will come. Our Lord Jesus Christ was and is to come. Because he is God, right? The beast was and is not. But our Lord really rose again, right? So you can really see our Lord, his name, he is, he was, and he is to come. But the beast was and is not, but he will come again. Like George said, in a very mysterious way, and we don't really need to know how, but we know he will come again, and when he will come again. He will come again, he will rise out of the abyss. He will come again in the middle of the last 7 years. So this is important for us to know. We need to know when the last 7 years will begin, which is the peace treaty. When the peace treaty in the Middle East is confirmed, it will be confirmed for 7 years. This is for sure, because the Word of God said so. And then in the middle of the week, meaning to say, after the peace treaty is signed 3.5 years later, the beast will appear. And then broke the peace treaty, stop the offerings. And the last 3.5 years, which is in the book of Revelation, says 42 months, 1,260 days, and time, times, and half a time. The Bible told us very clearly and gave you also the years and the months and the days, so that you'll be sure it is 3.5 years. It will be the day of the great wrath of God. Many Christians call it the great tribulation. So, and it is coming soon. Today, everybody's talking about a peace in the Middle East. It's a big thing. Okay, it is a big thing. And the new administration is really very keen on achieving this peace treaty between Israel and Palestine. Never in the past history has there been such a big interest in an administration that is really very keen and determined to accomplish this peace treaty today. So, all of these are signs of times that shows us our Lord is coming very soon. And this is the time. And the Lord shows us the end. The Bible called it the end is not just in one day, but 7 years. This 7 years, the Bible calls it, and the end shall come. And the Lord, by His mercy, giving us warning and giving us at least 7 years, and out of these 7 years, the first 3.5 years is still a chance for many to repent, and even for us Christians, if we believe that we need to be matured, there are still 3.5 years for you to catch up. But why wait until that time to catch up? So we need to already prepare ourselves for the Lord's coming today.
Amen.
Right. We are not talking about doctrines, right, teachings that will happen sometimes in the future. But you have to realize all the signs point to this coming age where the Lord is going to end it and return to establish His millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. Very strange things will be happening. In Revelation chapter 11, George didn't have time to mention everything because he only has half an hour time. Right? In Revelation chapter 11, God is going to send two witnesses to testify and bear witness to the Jews. And definitely, without any doubt, these two persons will be Moses and Elijah. Definitely. Right? And Moses and Elijah appeared also on the Mount of Transfiguration talking to Jesus, especially concerning His death, crucifixion. Right? And in chapter 13, you see two beasts, because Satan, God's enemy, is also going to use two persons. That's why you have two beasts, as George pointed out. The first beast is Nero, a terrible beast. And the second beast will definitely be Judas, because no one is more qualified to be the false prophet than Judas, who was one of the 12, and he even knew the Messiah. So, the word in the scriptures is very consistent. The Lord is going to send two witnesses, Moses and Elijah. And these are the two most qualified persons, because the Jews, they really respected Moses as the greatest leader, leading them out of Egypt. You remember Moses? And giving them the law. And Elijah is considered by the Jews to be the greatest prophet of all time. And sure enough, Elijah the prophet has done more than many other prophets. And he was the one that's raptured. The Lord send a chariot, a flying chariot of fire, and carried him away. So you have to realize that these two persons are very special. And the book of Jude told us that Michael was fighting with Satan to take the body of Moses. That's why the Jews couldn't find his body. Right? So, why? Definitely the Lord is going to use Moses to come back again. So, you have these two persons. And remember, if you see that God will use two persons, you will see that Satan will always imitate God's ways. He will also use two beasts, not two witnesses, two beasts. Beast is terrible. What happened if you see the beast? And this beast is the beast of all beasts, is a combination of all the terrible beasts together. You like to stay behind and face the beast? No, you sure? Well, maybe you're strong enough to overcome him. It says the beast will make war with the saints and overcome them. Right? So, you can really see that the word of God is simple and clear. It's written not to scare us, but to let us know what is going to take place so that we will prepare and have a godly fear and to prepare for his coming again. It's very important. And if you see this, this is good enough. You don't need more detailed information. Knowing too much will not help. Right? And that's why the Bible many times has gave us some information, not in complete detail. So, just know what you need to know and don't be curious. Curiosity. You know the saying, how it went, right? So don't be too curious. Just know enough to really help you to prepare and says, Lord, I want to be an overcomer. As we sang in the song, Lord, prepare me. I want to be the first fruits. I want to be raptured to the throne. Qualify me. It's better to know how to prepare than to know how the beast is going to appear. You have a choice. What would you prefer to know? How to prepare. That's right. Spend your time to know how to prepare and not to be curious to know how the beast looked like. Right? With sharp teeth and... Right? It's not going to help you, but you need to know, like our brother said, we need to know and not to be ignorant. But don't spend all the time trying to, you know, so many dear Christians are just trying to guess who will be the beast and this and that and that and we don't like to do that. Because we already know who he will be and who he was. He was. So, and the Lord already told us who he was. And that's good enough. And I don't care when he appears. I hope I'm not here to see him. Or would you prefer to be here to greet him? No way. Exactly. Right. So, it is better for us to prepare to be taken by the Lord. Amen. To stand with the Lamb on heavenly Mount Zion before the throne. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good. The food is here. So, the lunch, yeah. Of course, the lunch.